Yes, good you morning. Are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Sounds a little bit different. Hey, Frank Eliason, I think it might be somebody's birthday.
It is. We actually got away with this.
Wow. How'd you...
Hey,
thank
hey Dave,
you, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gare. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. I didn't bring a cake in, though. So he has a muffin. But it had a candle in it. I went and found a candle.
You're so awesome, Frank and Gareth. Thank you so much.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Happy
good morning.
Birthday.
Happy birthday to me. Thank you. Wow, I'm stunned. I am really stunned. I'm thinking, okay, maybe nobody knows about it. I'll just be quiet and kind of get through the day because I'm getting old.
Tell me about it, Dave.
Oh, man.
Dave, listen. Dave, Frank has connections.
Oh,
Frank,
yes, he does.
He knows these things. And unfortunately, I'm not able to be with you in person today. I was in Massachusetts yesterday. I'm back home today getting ready to leave for Florida. But great job, Frank, setting that up. Dave, happy birthday. You are, Mr. Parker, it's such a blessing. I'm so glad you were born. You are such a blessing to so many people.
Well, thank you, Gary. And... What can I say? I'm speechless. I don't know if I can do the show. Frank, you're going to have to come on, carry me, brother.
We caught him speechless when the song started playing. He knew right away, like, something's different. I don't necessarily know he knew it was the birthday song, but he knew something's different here.
Yes, I'm thinking, where's Gary, you know? Well, hey, thank you guys so much. God bless you guys. And, yes, it is my birthday. And can I say one other thing? My oldest son Ryan, who's in the Army, it's his birthday too.
Oh wow,
awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that was the best gift I've had.
Can never top that gift.
I know, it was so awesome. So, but he's in Korea. I don't know if he's listening on HolySpiritRadio.org, mm-hmm. but happy birthday, Ryan. Okay, and thank you, Gare.
Hey, happy birthday, Ryan.
Welcome back.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Welcome back.
I'm not certain I've ever seen Dave as speechless as he was this morning as this happened. We were actually having a nice, lovely conversation. He kept turning down the speaker. I'm like, keep turning it up a little. I want you to hear this. And then he was about to bring mic live. I'm like, oh, I'll let you know when we can bring that live. Because, we don't really need that right away.
All right. So thank you, Frank. I mean, it means a lot to me. Okay. And Gare, how was your trip back?
And my trip back was great. No problems getting back. I managed to avoid just about all bridges, so it was really great. The people gave me a great way back, smooth sailing the whole way, and now I'm back. I have a story I want to share with you guys. I emailed you this yesterday, so you know the details. This is one of the most unbelievable examples of the Holy Spirit at work that I've ever seen. But I want to do the prayer first, and then we'll do this story if we could. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this wonderful day. We give you thanks for the gift of Holy Spirit Radio. We give you thanks for the gift of Dave Parker, who impacts so many of our lives. Father, we ask you to bless us all, to protect us, to keep us safe from any harm. We ask you to use us for whatever you need so that we can spread the good news of your heavenly kingdom. Father, we ask you to heal those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling in any way. We ask you, Father, to speak through all of us on the program today so that we may proclaim your message. We ask you to open all of our minds and hearts to your message so that we may hear and listen to you. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's so great to be with you today on Holy Spirit Radio for this special birthday edition of Spirit in the Morning. Just briefly, we have a great show lined up. We have a guest coming up. I am so excited about this first guest. Frank introduced me to this gentleman at Man Up Philly. His name is Ed Lawrence. He was a religion teacher at Archbishop Ryan High School. At the time I was going there, he was on the girls' side. He was a teacher at Archbishop Ryan High School for girls, and now, of course, it's combined. But he started this unbelievable apostolate. It's called Prayers Unite the World. And on their brochure, they say, if you think you are alone and no one cares, think again. We'll talk more about this. If you need prayer, you need to listen to what Mr. Lawrence has to say. It's an incredible story. He's going to be coming up first, and then it's Friday, so you know what that means. Time for Dan Burke. We're going to go into the deep once again. Okay, Dave and Frank, you guys know this story. But I have to share this because I was blown away by this. I got an email yesterday while I'm on the air. Now, of course, I was in Westfield, Massachusetts, broadcasting the show remotely from my hotel room. Get an email from Jamie Patterson. And the subject is your hotel neighbor in room 108. Right away when I saw that, I thought, uh-oh, am I being too loud doing the show? This came in during the show. Check this out. Very simple email. And, of course, we had Jim Littleton on the show who touched so many people. I've been getting comments from about Jim Littleton's testimony about how he was healed by cancer. What an amazing story. Anyway, the email said this: Gary, I'm listening to your show both live and through the wall. Double the pleasure with an exclamation. He goes on to say, my wife and father are both cancer survivors, so it felt really great to receive this message. Now, first of all, when I got that, I thought, man, do I have a big mouth. This guy's hearing me through the wall. But Frank and Dave, this is amazing, because what happened after this, I wrote to him and I said, are you going to be in the lobby? Maybe I can meet you and say hi. He had already left, but he wrote back after that. And what he said was he enjoyed the program. He felt a connection to it. He never heard of the show, but by hearing what I was saying through the wall, he Googled it. He found it online. Wow. And will now add it to his podcast list. He travels a lot for work. And he said, check this out, while away from home and my family, it feels good to have someone positive to listen to learn from, and to keep me company. I get chills, guys, when I'm reading this.
Oh, that's incredible. It was just fun to receive your email and read that yesterday. And even better to hear it from your own, from your mouth. It's just a... so special to what we're trying to do, and you know, present that positive image.
You know what I thought, Gare, when I saw that at home, I thought, oh, maybe he attended your speaking engagement, and maybe, you know, it just happened that he was from out of town, and what a nice guy.
Yeah, it was amazing. And no, he had no idea who I was. He heard me through the wall, which, again, is a lesson for me. I mean, I knew I had a big mouth, but this really proves that. But he Googled Spirit in the Morning, came up with the show, and then he listened, and he just happened to be listening when Jim Littleton was on talking about surviving cancer, and he had this connection. So, Jamie, if you're listening, thank you so much for the kind email. Sorry we didn't get to meet in person. But, yes, please keep listening and let people know about us. This is exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to be positive. We're trying to present that positive message.
And Gare, Gare, I was going to say, and Jim Littleton was so inspiring. It was so
positive. He was, and he'll be back, I guarantee it.
Yes.
All right, I guess I'm running a little late today. I'm going to read the gospel quickly. Today's gospel is from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come to offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen. I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. If I had to summarize that, what I would say is don't go through the motions. Just going to church is not good enough. The Lord wants your heart, and he wants your actions. Let's put that into practice today. I hear my music. That means it's time for break. Grab a cup of coffee, come back, and on the other side, we're going to be talking to Ed Lawrence. Prayers unite the world. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 10th. Today we celebrate Saint Dominic Savio. The holy person we celebrate today died at age 15, so early in life that some thought him too young to be considered a saint. Pope Pius XII thought otherwise. Born in Italy in 1842, young Dominic had a deep desire to be a priest. At age 12, he was accepted as a student by Don John Bosco, who was training seminary students to help him in his work with neglected boys. Dominic showed amazing spiritual depths. He spent hours wrapped in prayer, but he worried that his peers would laugh at his piety. While he joined them in games, part of the balanced life that Don Bosco sought to create for all his young charges, Dominic would have been quite content to spend the time more profitably, as he saw it. When Dominic's health began to deteriorate, he was sent home to recuperate. Diagnosed with lung problems, he was given the customary treatment of the day, which was to be bled. Instead of helping his condition, the boy grew worse, eventually dying in 1857. Despite opposition, Pope Pius XII canonized Dominic Savio in 1954. He is the patron saint of young boys in general and choir boys in particular. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Humidity. Doctors said I was lucky to be alive. I've been troubled since the day that I got here. Troubled to the day that I disappear. That'll be the day that I finally get it right. There is hope for me, yeah. Because God won't forget all the plans He's made. With me, yeah. He's not finished with me yet. I never really was that good in school. I talked too much, broke the rules. Teachers thought I was a hopeless fool, alright. I don't know how, but I made it through. It's one of those things that you gotta do. I always had a knack for telling the truth. There is hope for me, yeah. Because God won't forget all the plans He's made for me. I have to wait and see. He's not finished with me. With me, yeah. Still wondering why I'm here. Still wrestling with my fear. But oh, he's up to something. And the farther on I go, I've seen enough to know that I'm not here for nothing. He's up to something. Time to be a man. Follow my heart as far as I can. No telling where I'm ending up tonight. I never slowed down or so it seems. But singing my heart is one of my dreams. All I gotta do is hold on tight. There is hope. Me, yeah. He's not
God's not finished with me yet. That's some inspiring. That's an inspiring message. That's Brandon Heath. The song is Wait and See. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Our time right now is 7:18. Prayers unite the world. This is an amazing apostolate founded by Lawrence. He's a religious education teacher at Archbishop Ryan High School. I had the opportunity to chat with him at the Man Up Philly Conference, and I wanted to get him on the show to talk about this great work that he's doing. Ed, good morning, brother.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to speak with you and your audience.
Great to speak with you as well. Ed, I have to be honest with you. This morning, I'm going through some things right now. We're selling our home, buying a new home. We've got some other issues, too. I need prayers. So this morning, I went to your website, prayersunitetheworld.org, and I submitted my request. And it's so comforting to know of what's going to happen with these prayer requests. First of all, tell us what inspired you to found prayersunitetheworld.org.
Well, there were a few things. The first thing that really happened was I have all my classroom at Archbishop Ryan High School. It's a collage of pictures, and one of the pictures I have up there is a picture of the seven Trappist monks that were murdered in North Africa in the mid-90s. And one night I happened to be surfing the net and came across the website of that particular monastery. So, you know, it kind of like inspired, I kind of sent an email to the monastery and told them that I have a picture of your martyred brothers on my wall at Archbishop Ryan. Please pray for my students. Well, they sent me back an email in French, which I then took to the French teacher and said, George, what are they saying? And he said, well, they're praying for your students. So I walked into the classroom with that email, and it was one of those very teachable moments. I told the students what I had done and told them that there were people literally around the world praying for them right now. Mm. And every teacher knows when you say something and it registers on their face, you could see it. And I saw that it did. And I thought, well, that was really a good experience for the kids. And I kind of like filed that away in back of my mind. But about a week later, I'm going through the school cafeteria on the way to the faculty dining room. And one of the cafeteria aides stopped me and asked me to pray for her daughter-in-law, who was having a difficult pregnancy. This time, I sent an email up to the Abbey of the Genesee, where I've gone for retreats, and asking them to pray for this woman's daughter-in-law. I printed out the homepage, brought it into school, and gave it to Alice and said, Alice, give this to, you know, your daughter-in-law and your son and tell them that there are people praying for them. And it was the look on her face, her reaction to the realization that there were people praying for her, that I thought, my God, you know, people need to have this experience. So I got together with some of the kids and asked them, you know, could a website be written to do these types of things? And they said, Mr. Lawrence, you could do frankly anything on the computer. Right. So I then went out and I met with the Poor Clares, the Carmelites, the Pink Sisters, just on a fact-finding mission of what could be done to bring prayers to their attention, to make the people aware of who's praying for them, where it wouldn't be intrusive to the community, to their day, mm-hmm. wouldn't be a burden to them, but it would accomplish that type of thing of letting people become aware that there are people out there. Because, you know, literally the response that we send back to the people, it could come to that person when they really are at a moment in their life where they really need to feel God's loving presence in their life. So we put together a program, and it works something like this. You know, as you experience, you send in a prayer request. We bundle it with four others, and we send that email out to representatives of five different communities. Now, the reason we did, one of the reasons why we did the bundling is because, in terms of that number, is because in the prayer of the faithful at Mass, that's how many petitions there usually are. And I thought, well, if we're going to, you know, kind of like borrow things, it's a good place to go.
Yeah.
And we started to go out and attract more communities So as you know, you may have seen in terms of all the communities, we have about 30 different communities. But let me add this part. It was the experience with the Pink Sisters and the Carmelites and the Poor Clares. Their information helped us figure out that it would be helpful if we had other people participating as almost like prayer partners. So it was really the experience with the Carmelites where I thought, well, you know, I know that every class in high school begins with a prayer. I know it does.
Right.
So
right.
How about if we involve the students? And when I showed that to the people at the Office of Catholic Education, you know, they you know, reacted very, very favorably and said that, you know, well, this is really great. We'd like to see this up by the time of the anniversary of World Meeting of Families. Mm-hmm. And we might have, you know, some money available to get, you know, put the website up. And when I asked them how much, they didn't know at the time, but I did. It was the exact amount the programmer said he wanted. And it was an unusual amount of money. So when they said this amount, I thought, okay, I think God just said go.
I like when he does that.
Oh, yeah. And that has been the experience that we've had through this whole process, how all of a sudden a door opens up that you didn't expect, and it's just there. And as Brother Ed Sheehy down at LaSalle University told me when I explained everything to him, his response was, Ed, if you think these things are a coincidence, let me tell you, they're not.
Right.
Well, that means we're on the right path. So that's where you know where we are. We know you know the responses we've been getting from people is very very favorable, and you know as I've often told my students, you walk down that road in faith. You know, somebody God could have somebody around the bend who's there to help you along. You don't know that until you take that walk in faith. That's why it's called faith. But the Lord provides. You just do what you believe God is calling you to do, and the rest is in God's hands. So that's where we are on this, moving it along, adding communities, you know, bringing in groups like the Knights of Columbus and the Catholic Daughters of America and the St. Vincent de Paul Society, etc. Yeah. It really is a way of making people aware of those, you know, the communities out there.
Right, and this is great because when I travel around speaking, I get so many people coming up and saying, Gary, could you pray for me? This is unbelievable. To know that these communities are praying for my intentions is so comforting. And we're going to send people to prayersuniteTheWorld.org. We'll have it linked at spiritinthemorning.com because I know people want to take advantage of this great gift. And Ed, you know as well as I do, sometimes people forget, but you know, prayer works. We don't always get exactly what we need, but there's something that's going to happen when we pray.
Well, the one thing that we've been emphasizing is this, at the end of the day, is the fact that we want people to know that there is a loving God who cares for them, and he's provided them with this church and with all the beautiful institutes within the church, communities within the church, that are really vehicles of God's love to show them that. So people become aware of communities because of what we're doing, what we're bundling is. They're becoming aware of communities that they might not even know existed. And now all of a sudden, my first department chairman told me many years ago, Ed, we're planting seeds. You may walk out of the classroom and think you've wasted 45 minutes of your life because you don't know how they're reacting. But you don't know. And the simple fact is we're planting the seeds and you know, that student or that person, you know, sometimes reflects on that, and all of a sudden that seed that you planted begins to grow. And this is essentially, you know, the same type of thing. We're planting as many seeds of the faith, making people aware of the fact that God loves them, that God is with them, and, you know, the church has communities and institutes that are, again, vehicles of God's love. You look at the mission and charism of those communities, and it's God's love being being realized. So it's all good things. And it, like I said, it began with that experience of the reaction of those people at Ryan to the fact that people were praying for them. And I kept thinking, my God, people need to have this type of experience. And and the other funny thing, Gary, I am lucky when I turn the computer on, if it lights up, I can't do anything other than that. I mean, that's it. And it's been my former students, their parents, some other people. They're the ones that are doing, everything
that's
else.
That's right. And that's what the Lord does. He gives you the people you need in order to get the job done. Ed, we're up against a break right now. We're going to have linked at spiritinthemorning.com information for prayersunitetheworld.com. Ed Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us, and keep up the great work. When we come back, Dan Burke.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Donald Trump's new travel ban order is facing legal challenges. Officials in Washington say they'll file a suit seeking to block the order. Washington was the first state to sue over the original ban. Several other states are also challenging the new one. But White House spokesman Sean Spicer says the administration believes the revised travel ban will stand up to legal scrutiny. The chair of the U.S. Bishops Committee on Migration, though, says the executive order still puts vulnerable populations around the world at risk. Bishop Joe Vasquez of Austin said in a statement this week, quote, "We remain deeply troubled by the human consequences of the revised executive order on refugee admissions and the travel ban. While we note the administration's efforts to modify the executive order in light of various legal concerns, the revised order still leaves many innocent lives at risk," end quote. Republican legislation to dismantle former President Obama's health care law has cleared its first big hurdles in the House and is gaining fresh momentum despite cries of protest from the right, left, and center. After grueling all-night sessions, the Energy and Commerce and Ways and Means committees both approved their portions of the bill along party line votes yesterday. President Trump strongly supports the legislation. And in some final breaking news today, it's Dave's birthday. Happy birthday, Dave. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi.
It was a hot June day when Becky Salmon, a paramedic and lifeguard, and Matt Werner, an EMT, posed for their engagement photos on the shore of Wissahickon Creek near Philadelphia. The creek is a popular place to cool off, so two kids were playing in the water nearby. At one point, Becky noticed that one of the boys looked like he was drowning. Concerned that the creek's undercurrents would suck him away, she quickly dove into the water, followed by the boy's mother. Becky pulled him to shore and, along with Matt and their photographer, cleared his lungs of water. What had started as a day to commemorate a couple's future life together became one in which they gave a child a second chance at his own future.
This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of your back. tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and bread. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Trust in you. That was Lauren Daigle. Sometimes the Lord doesn't appear to be answering, but he's always listening. We have to remember that. And that's when we can really trust in him. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Very quickly, the forecast, 43 degrees right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. Today, we do have some rain and snow on the way after 8 a.m. Total daytime snow accumulation, 1 to 2 inches possible. Tonight, we're going to have a low of a low around 20 tonight. I'm sorry. Tomorrow, it's going to have mostly sunny with a high near 30. So we are blessed every Friday on the program to be joined by our friend Dan Burke, who takes us into the deep. Dan is the editor of the executive director, of the EWTN's National Catholic Register. He's also the president of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation and the creator of Divine Intimacy Radio and SpiritualDirection.com. A very busy guy, but he makes time for us each Friday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, brother. How's your Lent going so far?
It's very Lentish. How about you?
Yeah. Good. I'm pleased so far. You know, we still have a lot of time left and plenty of time to really make this our best Lent ever. Hey, Dan, we've been discussing your book, Into the Deep, which is a fantastic book, Finding Peace Through Prayer. And you introduced the concept of discovery prayer. Essentially, what we do is we take our Bible with discovery prayer, and there are a series of steps that you mentioned that we should go through. The first, of course, is to take a passage and read it. And we talked about that. The next step, Dan, is reflecting on what we read. Now, can you talk a little bit about what that means? How do we reflect on what we read in the Bible and actually turn it into prayer?
Well, it obviously begins with the way we talked about the reading, which is a very slow vocal, very slow vocal deliberate reading, which helps us to reflect. So each word it allows us, when we do it this way, to get each word into our minds and our hearts and to think about what they mean. And so that leads you naturally into reflecting, which is a kind of prayerful engagement with the meaning of the passage and considering how it might apply to our life circumstance. It happened to me a little bit this morning. I practice Lectio Divina occasionally in the morning, and I pray mental prayer every day. I tell people to pray every day mental prayer, so I want to make sure I don't sound like I'm going against my advice, but right. My prayer tends to be a little more quiet. But this morning I was struggling, so I opened the Gospel of the Day, and I began to read the Gospel of the Day very slowly, and a passage really struck me. It's from Matthew 5:20. And through 26 is the gospel today. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment." Most Christians kind of go, "Yeah, that's right. I'm a pretty good person. I've never murdered anyone, you know."
That's right. Right.
But then Jesus goes on to raise the bar. You know, prior to this passage, he told the Pharisees that. He told his disciples that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, which, I mean, these guys were all in, you know, and he's going, okay, I got to raise the bar so you really understand that the requirements of the law are different than the way you've been taught. But he said, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever calls his brother a fool, you know, he goes on it. And I thought, well, you know, I'm not given to anger, and so I haven't done that. But not in a long time. But I had two students get really angry with me this week because the grading system at the Avila Institute, the scoring was wrong, and they both got Fs when they really had As. You know. They got really mad at me, and I became kind of the devil. You know. And I was thinking about that, and kind of, I'm laughing now, but I was a little bit sad for them because I thought, you know, I wonder how this gospel is affecting them today and praying for them. But then as I read down, all my self-righteousness began to fade because it says, you know, whoever says you fool will be liable to the fiery Gehenna. So I was reflecting on that, and I realized, you know, it doesn't mean just calling somebody a fool. It doesn't mean for me to say, you know, Gary, you're a fool. But if I were to mock you in some way or treat you in any way below your dignity, I thought, you know, I've done that. I've even done it probably yesterday on Facebook, you know, where somebody said something. It was really kind of silly, and they shouldn't have said it. But instead of me being, you know, kind, I just kind of said, well, that, you know, I didn't say you're stupid. I just said something sarcastic back to them, you know, make the point. So that's what reflecting does, is it helps us to kind of consider, what does this really mean, and what is God saying in the context, and how does it affect to me, what does it say to me? And of course in this I'm like, you know, I think I need to be more kind, and I think I need to take, you know, it's probably a venial sin, but I need to take it to confession today. That's answering the question of where is God leading me and what's he revealing to me? What does he want from me? So in a sense, this isn't just all about me in my head, Gary. I mean, I'm engaging with God in his word. He is affecting me. And then that causes me to respond, which is the next step, but we'll stop there.
Yeah, when you were saying that, the point you just made is exactly what I was thinking. When I'm reading a book, some sort of a book, and I'm really pondering, okay, let me really try to grasp this, let me understand, and I mull it over in my head, that's one thing. But when you're doing that with Scripture, it's not you. That's the Lord speaking to you through that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really important. What you just said is very, very important. Some people say, well, God never talks to me, and you know, and I don't hear the voice of God. And I'm thinking, yes, you do. You just don't, you know, you don't know how to listen. Or maybe, you know, it could be you're not praying, or, you know, you're not doing this sort of thing. But look, I mean, God, I can honestly say that the Lord spoke to me this morning, that he you know, he revealed to me that I needed to be more kind, and he and he's giving me an opportunity to repent. He's giving me an opportunity to draw near to him, and he has already drawn near to me because I sat down and by God's grace had the strength to sit down and engage with Scripture by his great gift, and to draw near to him. And then he said, okay, now I'm going to draw near to you. Now I'm going to reveal something into your heart that I would like to heal you of. So this is not psychology. You know, this isn't human wrangling.
Right.
This isn't a merely human engagement with ink and paper. This is an engagement with the living, Word of God. It's the way that God draws us to Him and to heaven.
Now, here's what's interesting, and it kind of annoys me a little bit, but I have to admit it. I read the gospel this morning. I read it on the show, and I reflected on it. When you just slowed it down a little bit, I think the Lord spoke to me too, and He told me the same message. And I don't especially like to hear what He had to say, but I think I needed to hear that. So, Dan, thank you. Because I do the same thing. I'm always criticizing people. And I think I can be very self-righteous at times. And I think we all need to really slow down and spend some time with Scripture like you just did. This is doable. What you just said is very practical. You don't need to be a scholar to do what you just did. And
yeah,
let the Lord speak
PhD,
to us.
Yeah, Gary. I mean,
right.
all we have to do is be able to read and to slow down and to say, to really be attentive to the Lord, to really just say, Lord, you know, I'm here. I want to know your word. I want to know you. I want you to show yourself to me. And he always will when we give ourselves. Now, we don't always walk away like this where I have a light bulb go on and,
right.
oh, geez, okay, I got to take that to confession, you know.
Right.
But the fact is that just because we don't feel something doesn't mean that there isn't work happening, that there isn't a kind of renewing of the mind, as Romans 12 says, that because we're bringing our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, as St. Paul said, as we engage with the Scripture, because we're giving our minds and our hearts the food of God's Word, it has the same inevitable effect. For instance, you know, if you put Miracle-Gro in your garden with your flowers, there's an inevitable effect that those nutrients have to work by the laws of nature. It's going to work, and it's going to have some positive effect in that soil. So it's the same, much more powerfully with God, that if we put the Word of God into the garden of our soul, into the soil, it softens up the soil, it fills the soil with nutrients, and then virtue and truth and righteousness and goodness begin to grow in us. But if we don't take that time, you know, we won't know that peace that we can have. We won't know the joy that we can have. We won't know the healing, you know, that we can have. You know, as you said, you can tend to be negative or how would you say it, critical. But that's, who wants to live like that, right? I don't.
I know.
You know,
I would
rather live in peace and joy and look at everybody the way Jesus looks at everybody, which is with love and a desire to draw them to heaven.
That's right. Dan, I am up against a break. The time flew by. You are amazing. Thank you for being with us each week. The best place to get the book is spiritualdirection.com. Is that correct?
Spiritualdirection.com/pray.
Excellent. Dan Burke, thank you so much. God bless you, brother.
God bless.
Dan Burke. We will be right back on the other side. But before we come back, don't forget The Best Lent Ever with Matthew Kelly. Then we'll be back to chat.
This is the audio from today's Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection featuring Matthew Kelly.
When I was a kid, I don't know, maybe 9, 10 years old, I used to be in this choir at school, and we used to sing at funerals. We used to sing at funerals all the time, like, I don't know, once a week or something, we'd be singing at a funeral. And for some reason, it really had an impact on me, and it really, I don't know, just sort of put in my mind the idea that life really is short, and that we do all end up dying, and that we're only passing through this place. We are pilgrims. You know, this is not home. You know, this is just, we're just passing through here. And it is easy to forget that. It's easy to get caught up in life and forget that this, all of this is temporary and that we're just passing through here. And some people might say, well, that's a bit dark, or that's a bit grim, or that's a bit depressing, or whatever. But I don't feel that way at all. I think that it is actually very, very healthy for us to spend some time thinking about death from time to time. As we make this journey toward Easter, and especially when we go into Holy Week, we will spend some time thinking about death. We'll spend some time. The church, in her wisdom, will challenge us to think about death. And, you know, there's another instance of the genius of Catholicism, because when we think about death, we actually live differently. When we come to church, you know, God tries to rearrange our priorities. When you read the Gospels, when you read the life and teachings of Jesus Christ, it is impossible not to have to either accept the gospel or reject the gospel. And accepting the gospel, what happens? The gospel wants to massively overhaul our priorities. When you fall in love, love rearranges our priorities. That's what love does. And when you think about death, death rearranges our priorities. If you knew you had 3 years to live, what would you change on your schedule this year? If you knew you had 3 years to live, what would you change on your schedule this week? It changes things, doesn't it? And so from time to time, it's just really healthy for us to think about death.
That was Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection. You can experience your best Lent ever by signing up for Dynamic Catholic's free video-based program by going to bestlentever.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
She started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Miracle. carry on. And on that night, they found a miracle.
Is a great prayer, isn't it? I need a miracle, Lord. I know you may be feeling that way today. That was Third Day. The name of the song is I Need a Miracle. Wow. Love that song. This has been an unbelievable show today. And please remember, Ed Lawrence, prayersunitetheworld.org. I will have that link at spiritinthemorning.com. If you need a miracle, let somebody pray for you. Certainly send that request to prayersunitetheworld.org. And what can I say about Dan Burke? He is unbelievable. He nails me right between the eyes every week he comes on. Right, I think I'm doing every good, week. Dave Parker, right, yeah. And Frank. Yeah. And then I hear what he said. I cruised through that gospel today, and then when Dan said that, it's like, oh, boy, wait a minute.
Let's slow it down a little bit, right, Gary?
But, yeah, and you know what, guys? That's why I love having the Best Lent Ever segments, too, because when you combine what Dan said with what Matthew Kelly said, that, hey, life is coming to an end one day, maybe it's time to clean up your act. When you do that, it makes you realize you have this, you should have this sense of urgency, and it's time to really get busy. And that's why Lent's such a great season. Guys, I want to chat with you for a few minutes, but before we do that, I want to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today's comes from Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The message there is, we're not supposed to be perfect. The Lord's not calling the people who are perfect. He's calling the knuckleheads and the sinners like us. And we've got to realize that first. If I don't feel like I'm a sinner, then I'm never going to ask for the Lord's mercy. I need to accept that. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. The Pope is a sinner. He's admitted it many times. If we acknowledge that, then we can turn to the Lord and ask for help. Wow. The time flew by, guys. It was great to hang out with you today remotely. Now, tomorrow, I'm headed to Fort Myers, Florida. You know, I'm sad to leave, but I think the weather's a little warmer down there.
Yeah,
so,
rough life.
Hey, it's hard work, Frank. It's hard work. But I will be broadcasting remotely from Fort Myers, where I'll be leading a parish mission. I've got a lot of great guests in store for next week. We'll tell you more about them. Well, tune in next week. You'll find out more about them. Frank, you had a couple things you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, there's a couple of different things. You know, it's a big weekend, I guess, for a number of factors. Hey, we have Nova going for the Big East Championship. I think that's popular around my household. One of the things today, though, I thought a lot of our listeners might want to do, Newtown Police, they do cops with coffee. Have a coffee with a cop. And I've been seeing this one of those construction signs, the blinking signs, every day on my way home. And it's always caught my attention because it all of a sudden changed. And it was about having coffee with a cop. So if you're in the Newtown area, it's at the Corner Bakery today, 8:30 until sometime, I want to say 10:30 in the morning. So, you know, if you have a chance and you're driving by, stop on by and just say thank you for everything you do. But besides Nova and the championship, one of the things going on is my alma mater is up for this, is in their first state tournament ever. So right now, you know, they had their first league championship, first district championship in school history, and now they're up for the state title as well.
Wow.
And so that's Archbishop Wood. A shout out to them for everything they're doing. And
Vikings?
The Vikings. That is correct.
Right.
Let's just say they weren't quite that good when I was there. But hey, you know, it's great for them. And then the other thing to remember this weekend, it's time to spring forward. Spring has sprung.
Boy. Oh boy!
So let's you know, understand that, you know, we're gonna lose a little sleep this weekend, but you know what? extended daylight hours, which is a wonderful thing. So make sure you're aware of that and change those clocks this weekend. So what do you have? Right. You're traveling. I'm actually going up to take my daughters to see a Broadway show tomorrow. Ooh. What are you doing for your weekend, Dave?
Probably stuff around the house. Maybe go out for my birthday. I think we were going to go out tonight, but maybe not. I might have some family over. So,
all right. And
thank you.
Gary, you want to take us out with real quick prayer?
I do. Dave Parker again. Happy birthday. And make sure you enjoy your day. You're very special. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks for this.
Let's wrap up with prayer. Lord, we thank you for everything today. We thank you for letting us be here on Spirit in the Morning. We ask you to use us today to accomplish your work. Amen. Remember, wherever you go, the Lord's with you. So you know the deal. Say hi. Talk to you next week. God bless you.